الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده سبحانه كما ينبغي لجلال وجهه وعظيم سلطانه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite, abundant and all perfect forms of praise and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, beloved, prestigious, honorable messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, and upon his purified family, and upon the illustrious and noble companions, and upon all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters, respected elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal shower upon you all on this blessed, sacred day of Jumu'ah in the noble sanctuary and home of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the efforts that you have made become a means for your forgiveness, for your pardon, for your success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Ameen. Previously on Jumu'ah, you will recall we discussed the sanctity, the sacredness, the honor and nobility of Masjid al-Aqsa, of Jerusalem, of Bayt al-Maqdis, of the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for all of the prophets and messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal to gather together, the place where Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wassalam led them all in prayer, the place where Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wassalam ascended into the heavens, the place where we are informed that there is not a handspan place where there has not been a prophet praying or an angel praying unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very same place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in the glorious and noble Qur'an, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. And we discussed our duty towards our first Qibla, because this was the first Qibla of Islam, and it is still part of our beating heart, just the way we have two arteries into the heart. Similarly, we have Makkatul Mukarramah and we have Baytul Maqdis. And it's something that we cannot neglect or overlook. And we see their pain and suffering, and this is something that we need to be part of in terms of alleviating their pain and suffering. And we discussed a hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, where towards the end of time, these noble people of Palestine, of Jerusalem, they will be trialed, they will be tested, and they will be betrayed by their own and also by others. And we can see how the world is betraying them and how it has betrayed them for many years, many decades. But we also see now more clearly, day by day, how their own, the Ummah itself, our so-called Muslim countries, are also betraying them for financial gain, for political gain, and for various other gains. And this is something which is extremely concerning, because we are all accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that indeed to Him is our ultimate return. And therefore we will be questioned on how we reacted, what we did, how our hearts and our politics aligned with the people of Palestine. How would we react if somebody did this to Makkatul Mukarramah or Madinatul Munawwara? And our reaction should be exactly the same when it is done to Baytul Maqdis. So carrying on from that, I wanted to develop that a little bit more and talk about the state of insan and the particular developments that insan goes through, and why people are doing the way, the things that they are doing, the choices that they make, and how it will define them in the dunya, and more importantly in the hereafter. We all have various conditions. We are healthy and we are sick. We have success in our lives and we have failures in our lives. We have good within us, we have bad within us as well. We carry out justice, and this same insan also has the capacity and does many occasions carry out many injustices as well. We see people in safety, in security, in the comfort of their homes in this particular country. We have people at war, we have people suffering droughts and famine, various other situations. So every single individual, community, nation, country has a particular condition, and we especially as individuals. But in all of these conditions, there's one constant, and that constant is that we always call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sickness, through health, through good and bad. The true sign of a mu'min, the true sign of a believer, is not that he only remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of difficulty, but no, he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through all of the highs. It is even more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the lows and through the difficulties and challenges. So we all need Allah azza wa jal, irrespective of our gender, our social status, our political, our financial, our religious well-being, our spiritual well-being, how it fluctuates. We always need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot suffice without Allah. We cannot exist without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us and gives us that reassurance that وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, that your Lord, our protector, our nourisher, our guide, our Rabb, He says that call out to me, call on to me, no matter which situation that you are in, no matter which hal, which kayfiyya, which state that you are in, call on to your Lord. Call on to your provider, your protector, the one who gave you life, the one who gave you health, the one who's given you everything and continues to give you everything. Call on to Allah Azza wa Jal and astajib lakum. It is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will respond to you. Whether that response is immediate, whether that response is delayed, whether that response is a rejection or a substitution of your du'as, that is entirely up to your state, of your hal and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is an individual matter, an affair between you and your Lord. And throughout this week and the last few weeks, especially during Ramadan, people have been praying continuously, not just for themselves, obviously for their family members, for those who are alive, those who have passed away, but more importantly, due to the state of Palestine, we have been imploring, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Posts have been going out that wake up at 2 o'clock at night and everybody's going to pray the Hajjat. Everybody's going to do a collective dua at this particular time. Let's all get together and let's all pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question that comes to my mind, and I'm sure it will come to your mind, that if 1.6 to 1.8 billion Muslims, taqriban, that's how much we are across the globe, if we have some form of conscience, some form of taqwa, some form of connection and concern to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we at least from 1.6 to 1.8 billion, jalo 1 billion, half ka lo, ya 9, you know, 0.9 ka lo, but at least even if half the population of the Muslim ummah is calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yaro, there should be some salih, some muttaqeen, some close people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whom we should listen to. whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should accept their du'as. So why is it that in spite of days and weeks and months and also of decades of du'as, why are our du'as being rejected? There must be something wrong. Doctor gives you antibiotics, you take the course, you get cured. And if that doesn't work, then you try a different prescription, a different method, but you still carry on with the regime and you get it. One du'a is not accepted, you try another du'a, you try tahajjud, you try salah, you try sadaqah, you try various other avenues and opportunities, and you try to get your du'a accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the door, it will always be open. But why are the du'as rejected? One of the major reasons for du'as being rejected is because of our munafiqat. And nobody is protected from that. We all have some element of hypocrisy within ourselves, myself included, and everybody else in the world. We all have some form of hypocrisy, inner hypocrisy and outer hypocrisy. And this is one of the core reasons why our du'as do not even ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let alone get accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in the Quran, if you read very carefully, you'll see that in after Surah Al-Fatiha, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the mu'min. Okay, mu'minin, that you know, that they believe in the ghayb, yuqimuna as-salah, wa yu'tuna az-zakah, wa imma razaqnahum yunfiqun, etc. Ulaika ala hudam min rabbihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very closely on, then talks about the kuffar, how they outwardly and completely reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spends only maybe 2, 3, 4 verses on the mu'minun and how He describes them. And similarly 2, 3, 4 verses on the kuffar and how He describes them. But there are 13 verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicates to the munafiqun. What does this teach us? This teaches us that the Muslimun, the mu'minun, the believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are clear. And the kuffar are also clear as well. You don't need to be, you know, worried who is this, who is that. Mu'min, you can see from their hulya, from their libas, from their character, from the way that they behave, this is a Muslim. A kafir, you will see also, because he will be outwardly rejecting it straight up, that's it. But a munafiq, he is a very dangerous kettle of fish. Because outwardly he will appear to be alongside Muslims, inwardly he will be against Muslims. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicates over 13 verses to describe the munafiqun and what they are like and how they behave and how dangerous they are. You know, when you see a pothole, you can see it. It's in your view and it's very easy for you to circumnavigate that, so you can avoid that. You're a Muslim, you see a kafir, you don't want to, you know, get into, you just avoid that person because you know he's a munafiq. But when you can't tell, so you can't tell who's a kafir, you can't tell who's a munafiq, then it's even more difficult. Then you go into that hole which gets deeper and deeper and never ends. It's a very, very dark place. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentions the munafiqoon, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَسِيرًا. That indeed the hypocrites, they will be in the lowest depth, the lowest grade, i.e. the most severe grade in the fire of Jahannam. So the worst place that you can imagine, the worst place that you can imagine, this is where they will be in the fire of hell. وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَسِيرًا. And then you will not find for them any particular help or helper. This is due to their nuqsan, the damage that they did. But in the world they may have aligned with you, but inwardly, as they say in our language, jara kat derin, you know, cut you down from the roots. And we have this, unfortunately, amongst ourselves. We have this in our own nations, in our own communities. You see them outwardly making these statements, inwardly they are making these business transactions and deals and agreements and financial and political gains. And you say, what's going on, guys? And even their voice, like, yes, you know, we support them, and yes, they should do this and that. You can see the hypocrisy, and it's becoming more and more abundantly, evidently clear. And this is one of the major reasons of our demise. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Muslims were absolutely and abundantly clear. You could see them, the way that they behave, the way they live their life. The kuffar were abundantly clear, but the munafiqun, those were the most dangerous ones, and they still are the most dangerous ones as well. So, as I mentioned, there's two types of nifaq. There's the outward in your behavior, where you give an impression of being sympathetic, of being supportive, of being sincere, whilst in reality you are the opposite in your heart. And you can see this in our nations. I don't need to mention their names. You can see them. Outwardly, they give these, you know, very, very nice statements. But inwardly, you can tell this is their behavior, their conduct is very, very different. You have the verbal nifaq, which is the state of double tonguedness. That's not really a word, I think, but nevertheless, put it together. When a person praises and they flatter another person or other people in front of them, but as soon as they go behind their back, they completely decimate that individual and destroy them and who they are. So hypocrisy is a very, very dangerous disease, which has spread, unfortunately, throughout the ummah, much more so than the other people, because you see the kuffar, you'll see what they get. You know, whatever you see is what you get. They oppose you, they'll say it outwardly. And you'll see it in their actions, but our own people are the ones who are causing us the most harm, outwardly and inwardly. And this is why our du'as are not being rejected, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these people, these munafiqun, مُزَبْزَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَىٰ هَٰؤُلَاءِ وَلَا إِلَىٰ هَٰؤُلَاءِ, that these are the people between this and that, these munafiqs, that they belong neither here, neither to, so that تُسَدَوِنِي تُعُنَدَوِنِي, so they're in between and they're destroying you and they're destroying them, they're only out there for themselves. Neither are they aligned with you wholeheartedly and neither will they be wholeheartedly aligned with them. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he whom Allah sends astray, you will not find for him a way back to the truth, back to Islam. So we have to really assess our lives and ask ourselves, what is going on with the world? Why our du'a is not being accepted? What are our countries doing about it? What are our nations doing about it? But I think we need to really start at home with ourselves, within ourselves, because change begins with you. What do you say to your wife, but inwardly you mean something else? What do you say to your employer, but you really think, I'm not going to do this, he can, it doesn't matter. What do you say to your cousins and to your family members in terms of promises and pledges, and then you do something completely the opposite? What do you say to your own children, and then you do other things? How many times, this is a form of hypocrisy, how many times do we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bow down, beg and submit and say, I won't do it again, and then as soon as we're out, we're doing the same thing. Oh, I won't lie, I won't cheat, I won't gamble, I won't do zina, I won't fornicate, and then there we are doing it again. Hypocrisy within ourselves, we're trying to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas we can't deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can deceive yourself, you can potentially deceive other people. You cannot deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very, very grave condition that we are all suffering, and it's something that we really need to get out of. So the personal hypocrisy, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions that there is a man who is constantly in journeys, striving and trying to get to a particular destination, as are all of you. We are trying to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way or form. And he has dishevelished hair, like his hair's all over the place. How you see vagabonds and other people, bas malang as they say in our language. And he has a dusty appearance. And he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He raises them high to the sky and he says, oh my Rabb, ya Rabbi, ya Rabbi. This is the individual. Look at, if you saw him outwardly, you think that he's very humble, he's very simple, he's very down to earth, and look at him clawing onto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says, but his food is haram. The way he attained that food, attained that wealth, and consumed it is haram. His drink is haram. His clothes are haram. He is nourished from haram. Then how can you ever expect for his prayers, for his du'as to be accepted? So we really need to ask ourselves that how true and honest are we to our employers, to those people that we work with? How honest and how much integrity do we have in the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we live our lives, the way that we consume our wealth and earn our wealth and do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if our core is not in the right way, then of course our du'as will automatically be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that personal hypocrisy, we need to really work on that first and foremost within ourselves. Then we have this financial hypocrisy as well within us. That if you look at the entire aid budget to Gaza last year and the year before, the entire aid budget to Gaza last year was less than the amount which was spent on a skyscraper in Dubai / Saudi Arabia. If you look at the budgets and how much billions they spend on their skyscrapers in their countries, in their nations, And you compare that to all of the people, the millions of people there in Gaza, in Palestine. It's nothing in comparison. It's a trivial amount. And the amount of food that is wasted in our Muslim countries, within our homes. We have this financial hypocrisy as well. We want Allah Ta'ala to bless them and protect them and say, Allah, dua kabul karun. We send a few money here and then we think that's it. Their state will be better. They'll get better. But it won't be. Because if our earnings are not halal, if our intention is not in the best way, and we have no ihsan in our earnings, and we have hypocrisy in our finances, we have hypocrisy in our actions, then why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept those things? Our Muslim leaders and nations, they are buying football clubs left, right and center, and they spend more on those football clubs than they spend on Gaza and Palestine, on Syria, on Yemen, on Iraq and Afghanistan, on Kashmir, on Myanmar, and throughout the world. This is where our money is going off. If it's not hypocrisy, then what is that? It is a great form of hypocrisy which we really need to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Social hypocrisy as well. The Muslim community is supposed to be a beacon of justice. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best of nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that. You've been created and sent out to all of humanity. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. But look at how much baymani, makari, farebi, jhoot, rishwat, and all of these things that take place in our home countries. Look to Pakistan, look to India, look to all of the other countries that we come from and we hail from, and look at how much hypocrisy that we have. Look at how we, even as Asians, are racist to other people as well. I've heard it many, many times. Unfortunately, he's a black man, stay away from him. He's a white man, he's like this, he's that. We have discrimination and racism within ourselves. We have nationalism within ourselves. We don't look at that. We are all created from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has created us all, and therefore every single person has inherent nobility and respect that we need to give them, which has been commanded to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we don't do that. We have sectarianism, we have nationalism, we have racism, we have honor killing, we have all of these things going on in our society. Hypocrisy. We say we are Muslims. We say we will follow the Quran. We say we will follow the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. But every single day we are doing the complete opposite of all of that. Socially, financially, personally, individually. Then yaro, ask yourselves again the same question. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then accept your du'as? Because are you really in the category of a mu'min, of a Muslim, and a muhsin? Or are you going more towards the category of a munafiq? Those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely despises, and those who are in the munafiqeen fi ad-darkil asfali min an-nar, those who are in the worst and the lowest grade of the fire of hell. And the greatest one that we have is our political and religious hypocrisy as well. And you can see that on an international scale. Our countries are silent. They're not saying anything. They're not coming together. They're not uniting. They're not doing anything physically, financially, anything. They're just quiet. They just sat there for their own political gains. And this is not just Palestine. If you look at Yemen, if you look at Syria, look at Iraq, look at all of these places, it's all for a different ideology, for a different agenda. They are quiet, or they are working with other people in this particular way. So we really need to work upon ourselves and ask yourselves, do you fall into this category that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam very simply mentioned, that among the signs of a hypocrite are three. Even if he fasts, and even if he prays, and even if he claims to be a Muslim, if you have any of these three characteristics within you, then this is how you are categorized عند رسول الله and عند الله, according to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when he speaks, he lies. How much do we lie? We lie more than we can even count. We lose track of our lies. We lie left, right and center, to ourselves, to our children, to our family, to our parents, to our employers. Yeah, there's no had, there's no limit for us in how much we lie on a daily basis. Is it tumina khana, that when he makes a promise, he breaks it? That when he is trusted with something, that he betrays that trust. And then when he's given a promise, he breaks it. These are some of the signs that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam stated, that if you find these within yourself, then know that you are munafiq, inward or outward, and all the other things that we've discussed, that's entirely up to you to kind of figure out who you are and what you are doing. And although you might think this is the Jummah khutbah, what's Abraham Lincoln got to do with this? But nevertheless, a good statement is a good statement, that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Look at how divided we are within ourselves, within our homes, within our communities, within our nation, within the Ummah. Then how can we ever stand collectively? Where is our strength? وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Where is that holding on to the grasp and the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, holding fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rope? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us and says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَعَلُونَ? Why is it that you make these statements and you say all of these things? You're a Muslim, you're a Muhsin, you're this, you're that, and you follow the Quran and Sunnah, but you never actually ever put that into action. This is a sign of hypocrisy. So why, we come back to the question at the beginning, why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the du'as of whether 1 billion or 2 billion or even 50 billion Muslims across the world, when we don't even fall into that real category being classified as a true Muslim or a mu'min? We need to work on ourselves. We need to work on ourselves. We need to remove all these forms of hypocrisy. And until we don't change, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. We have to change. The transformation has to come from within us, in our character, in our speech, in our actions, in our behavior, in our conduct, how we deal with each other, with our family, with our community. And only then you'll see that catalyst of change within our community and in our society. So we can't just go out and with our du'as free Gaza and Palestine and all the other countries who are suffering throughout the world, until we don't free ourselves from our own hypocrisy and from our own failings. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to become true Muslims, true mu'mins. Wa qawli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum jazakumullahu khairan. Kuch zaruri elanat aap hazrat samat farmane. Kal se namaz e fajr ki jamaat inshaallah laziz 4:15 hogi, namaz e zuhr ki jamaat 2:00, namaz e asr 7:00, namaz e isha 9:15 aur aage chalti jayegi, aur namaz e isha 11:00 hum ada karenge. Tomorrow salatul fajr will be at 4:15 a.m. Salat al-Zuhur at 2, Salat al-Asr at 7, Salat al-Maghrib at 9:15 onwards. Throughout the weekend, Salat al-Isha at 11 p.m. Iske ilawa pichle jumatul mubarak par aapne 1621 pound aur 10 pence ki khidmat ki. Allah Rabbul Izzat aapki khidmat ko qubool o manzoor farmaye. You generously donated 1,621 pounds and 10 pence last week on Jumu'ah.